Okay, let's get started with this year's Haggadah Shir, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Baruch Hashem. We are back in our Mikdash Ma'at in some way, Baruch Hashem, socially distanced, but we are here, and we're going to try to take off the mask of the Haggadah, just to everybody here is wearing masks, but we'll try to take off the mask and Baruch Hashem, do what we can, and as we do each year, we'll try to go through the Haggadah one paragraph at a time. Having a thought or two on each, or most of the paragraphs. Once in a while, we'll throw in an oldie but goodie that people might remember from other years, but we'll try to stick to the text in front of us. Again, all the other versions are up on the OU site from the past number of years. So we'll try to stick to the new thoughts for this year. But again, all the other years are up, and feel free to enjoy. So it's the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder. And we call it the night of the Seder. If you look in the Haggadah of the Shemen HaTov, at the end of the Haggadah, we say, Chasal Seder Pesach Kehilchaso. Chasal, we finished. We're done. So we're going to quote something from the end of the Haggadah as an introductory thought for our Shir tonight. So Pashus is Chasal Seder Pesach Kilchaso. We finish Kachomish Bato Kasher Zachinu Kenizke. It's a tefillah, just like we did it now. We should be zochet to do it in the future. Pashus Hadvarim Nira De'Eino El Tefillah. It is a tefillah. V'Af Sheasinu Aseder Halayla Pitesa Hadvarim Shalkadish Urchatz. We hope that we could ultimately get the carbon. to bring the carbon. But the Sefer Shemana told, maybe it's something deeper. Yesh lomer de yesh kan hergish nosaf. We call this the Seder night. The first Seder night was not so misudar. If you think back what we're supposed to remember, chipazon, yatzanu mimitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim in haste. We were not misudar. We did not go out so orderly, so to speak. The Mitzrayim were chasing us. The Mitzrayim were pushing us out. That's how the first Pesach was. And therefore, every year, we are, so to speak, misakein, or better, mashlim, that first experience and have Seder. We had to get out that very second. It couldn't be misudar. We had a rush. Because if we were there one more second, as we know, we wouldn't have been identifiable anymore as B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, and it would have been done. But after that, now we take it slow. Now we think about every stage of the process. Now we are maschil b'gnus, u'misayim b'shvach, and we go through every part of the Seder to remember. Da'asinu akol b'kavana shel Seder Pesach Kilchaso. Like the Rambam, right? The Rambam starts off the Halach Ma'anya, Bibihilu. Bibihilu Yatzanu Mimitzrayim Halach Ma'anya. V'chenisa v'targa v'chulu. And he continues, and he goes through again in this theme, but I'm just taking that point out of his thoughts. We have a Seder. To be Mesakin and Mashlim, the original Chipazon, there's no need to rush tonight. There's no need. Yeah, there's something called chatzos. That's true. We should have that on our minds. But we have to make sure that we focus on what we're doing. One of the Bali Musar point out, we know there's a principle called Zriza Magdima L'mitzvos. Should be a Zariz. It doesn't say Zriza Magdima B'mitzvos. But Zriza Magdima L'mitzvos. Up until you get to the mitzvah, be a Zariz. Till you start doing it. Be a Zariz Magdima. But once you get to the mitzvah, don't rush. Don't rush. Go slowly. L'mitzvos. But once you get to the mitzvah, so then we do it slowly. Okay, so that's our introductory thought, and now we get into the simanim themselves. Kadesh. This year's Kadesh is something different. This year's Kadesh has an extra element to it. Right? We're going to do Yak Nahaz, it's Motzi Shabbos. So not only are we going to make Kiddush, we're also going to make Havdalah. And we're going to do it together, as the Gemara has many different opinions in Arvei Pesachim how to do that. But Rabbi Lamb points out in source number 2 in the royal table, Havdalah is crucial in life. Havdalah is crucial for every Jew. In order to be Mekadesh, we have to be mavdil. And maybe in the opposite order. Says Rabbi Lamb, we need Zichrono Levracha, where it's still within the year of his Ptira. We need to exercise one particular faculty of the human psyche, the power to discern and discriminate and distinguish between the real and the fictional, the genuine and the artificial, right and wrong, licit and illicit. In a word, we need Havdalah. All of life, we're making Havdalah. All of life, we're choosing right from wrong. We're distinguishing between what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and what we need to believe and what we're not allowed to believe. We know Havdalah is said, the Gemara tells us, in the first bracha, after the first three and the last three, right? Atachonin li adam das. Why? Because in order to make Havdalah, we have to have bina. We have to have discernment. We have to recognize that that's what makes us human. Right? Animals don't make Havdalah. Animals have instinct. They decide, you know, are they going to eat it? Does it smell good? Does it not smell good? But there's no intellectual decision that is made. There's instinctual. Am I going to go? Am I not going to go? But human beings make Havdalah. And if we make proper Havdalah, so then we will ultimately be able to make proper Kiddush. I'm putting that into his words. The rabbis explain the relevance of wisdom to Havdalah. Ein das Havdalah minayin. If there is no knowledge, whence the ability to distinguish? The ability to discern between values, to discriminate and to distinguish between competing themes, and therefore the ability to emerge whole from the manifold confusion that reign in life requires das. Rav Soloveitchik often pointed out, Bederav Drush, life is often bein hashmashos. It's not always so clear. There's light and dark me'urav zebazeh. And we have to do our best to make Havdalah in the bein hashmashos. We have to figure out day and night. We have to figure out right from wrong. Right? The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says that somewhat got harder after the chet of Adam and Chava. Beforehand, it was emes and sheker, and then it became tov and ra. That's different, because we became mushpa from the internal yetzahara that went inside of us after the chet. But that's what life's about, and Hashem trusts us. And we start off the Seder, the night that we were born as a nation, declaring this year, we don't get to do it that often, making Havdalah during Kiddush. I think in another 4 years, and then after that, another like 22 years. But another couple of years, we'll have to do it also. But we have Havdalah in the middle of Kiddush, the Zchus of Yak Nahaz. Havdalah in order to make Kiddush. Orachas, we wash our hands. Karpas, we're not going to focus on Karpas this year. Yachatz. Just one halachic thought. Rav Schechter quotes in the Rav Schechter on the Haggadah. He quotes there from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is quoted in a number of Achronim. Reb Sternbach quotes it. That we put away, we wrap up the Afikomen. We wrap up the Afikomen. The Afikomen, as we know, is a zecher to the Karban Pesach. That's why we eat it al hasova. We eat it at the end of the meal. Again, al hasova means, as the Mefarshim pointed out, it doesn't mean after you're full. After you're full, you eat. No, that would be an achila gasa. That would be an inappropriate eating. Al hasova means as I become full. The Afikomen, the Karban Pesach, is supposed to make me full. So if I'm not going to have any room at the end of the meal, we should skip what we call dessert and leave room for the Afikomen. Because the Afikomen has to make me full. But if that's true, Reb Chaim pointed out that every Karban requires Shmira, requires guarding, the opposite of Hesach Hadas, the opposite of a lack of focusing on the Karban. I want to make sure it doesn't become Tameh. I want to make sure it doesn't become, you know, yotze, go out from where it's not supposed to be. So every karban, there's a din d'araisa, that every karban requires shmira. Truma, by the way, also requires shmira. There's a Ramban in Chulin Daf Beis that talks about halachically the definition of shmira. But Rav Schechter quotes here from Rav Chaim, during the Seder, the meat of the Karban Pesach must have been wrapped and placed in a guarded location until the time of its consumption. So there is an idea, maybe when our children take the, or we should warn them because we're not going to see when they take it, but maybe we should announce beforehand that whoever takes it, to be Mekayim this Minog, should wrap it up properly and always know where it is and put it in a place where you don't think anybody else is going to get it. If the children take the afikomen, they should be careful not to place it in an exposed location rather than a secure one. Okay, it's a minug, and that's what Reb Chaim says, a thought on yachatz. But now we get into the main course, so to speak, and that is Magid, Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. We've quoted so often various ideas, introductory ideas about Magid, why there isn't a bracha on Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. We could like to quote the Nesivis and others. We'll talk about that a little bit, Be'ez Hashem on Shabbos. But Halach Ma'anya starts it off. Some questions are asked in every Haggadah. Why do we start off in Aramaic? Right, Halach Ma'anya, the Achala of Asana Bar de Mitzrayim, is matzah the bread of freedom or the bread of affliction? We usually associate matzah with freedom. That's why we do Haseba by matzah. But we call it the Achala of Asana Bar de Mitzrayim. We ate it in Mitzrayim. But the question that we're going to focus on this year, again, many are asked, here you have in the Haggadah, Kerem HaTzvi, was put out by his grandchildren, great-grandchildren that live in Kerem B'Yavneh, Rav Siya Ferber. Why are we inviting guests? Why are we inviting guests? And many say, even al pi halacha, it's not appropriate for Pesach. Because those learning Daf Yomi, we only have a couple of days left, but if we remember, you're not allowed to eat the Karan Pesach unless you were appointed before the Zman Shechita. Right? I can't have walk-in guests the night of the Seder. Because you have to be appointed to the Karban Pesach. You have to be Nimne. So really, it's not even a true invitation. Plus the fact that the door is closed. Right? There should be a minog that in shul, before we leave shul, we say, kol dichvin yesev yechol. We don't do that. We don't even open the door. The minog of opening the door is later on by Shvoch HaMascha. We don't open the door, so it's not really inviting guests. So what are we doing? So Rav Soloveitchik says, we mentioned this a number of years ago, it's a simon of cheres. The butler does not choose who to invite. Right? The hired help doesn't choose who to have over for dinner. So the invitation itself, the fact that I choose who to invite, that itself is a simon of cheres. We do things that symbolize cheres. We do haseba, even though it's not so comfortable, the simon of cheres, but that's one idea. But here he quotes, the Kamapamin is Damali Betel Yaldusi. He remembers when he was much younger. Liros in the 1800s. Liros Hamon Rav Meumos Ha'olam Yotzim Yom Chagam. I remember when the other nations, the other religions finished whatever they did in their temples on their holidays. V'lo Echad Mehem Asher Yolech Oso Ito Habaita Eza'ani Over Orech Lesod Oso. I never saw once one of them inviting a needy person, a poor person, over for their holiday meal. It's not something that's done, that's so accepted. Going over to a stranger, do you have a place to eat? Ubiyamim Shashar Umos Ha'olam, he quotes from other nations, says that's something Jewish. That's a simin of Am Yisrael, that we take care of the needy. We take care of those who need a place. Hachnosis Archim is mandated. It's not just a nice thing to do. Right? There are many things that the world might call, oh, a good Samaritan. There's always a news story. Every couple of months you hear a news story. I remember, I don't listen to the news really much here, but hopefully one day I'll understand it. But I remember, like, you hear, oh, a taxi driver found a diamond ring and returned it, and he's like the tzaddik yisod olam, and he's and amazing, and they give him the key to the city, and that's a chiyuv d'oraisa. That's called hashavas aveda. That's not like, oh, super. That's mechuyev. There are mandated laws, but you know why Hashem does that also? Because He knows it's in us. He knows it's part of who we are. Like the Gemara says in Yevamos, Rachmanim Baishanim Begom Lechasadim. That's a simon. He writes, it doesn't say it's a mida, it's a simon. Shlosha simanim yesh bu'umazu. There are three simanim. And he quotes a story from Rav Yaakov Sapir, the Shadar in Yerushalayim. He went somewhere to a place where they weren't sure. Various times in history, you know, the different tribes. Are they from the tribe? Are they not from the tribe? So you go there and you act like brothers, even though you have no idea who each other is, then you know they're from the tribe. You know that's part of Am Yisrael. And he quotes other stories related to this, but he says that's halach ma'anya. We say something and we do something to reflect about who we are. You're right, it's not a real invitation, but we invite and we care and we focus on others. Anu makdimim, now in source number 5. Anu makdimim lahachriz mitchila hasimanim al taras yichusenu shanachnu bnei Avram Yisrael v'Yaakov umi bnei bneihem yotzei Mitzrayim. This is what our avasana tiachalami Mitzrayim. This is who we are, and this is what we're proud of, and this is how we start off the Seder with Halach Ma'an. And we continue with Manishtana. Maybe we go from that, we recognize who we are, and then we go to our youth, the minhag of the children saying Manishtana. But Manishtana, we ask all the questions. Remember the Rambam. The Rambam says it's a statement of wonder, right? It's not the Manishtana question, but it's Manishtana. How different? The Rambam says, "V'omer akorei manish." How different is this night? Like the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Marabu masech Hashem manish tana halayla zeh." So it's a question and it's a statement. This is one of the oldest parts of the Haggadah. As we know, the Haggadah is made up of layers. The oldest part of the Psukim, but then we have Midrashim and Mishnayos, right from the times of the Tanoim. So we speak all about the Midrashim from Mikra Bikurim, Manish Tana is in Mishnayos, Rabbi Gamliel HaYomer is in Mishnayos, and then it builds and builds and builds until Dayenu is obviously one of the later additions, and Chad Gadya, but it builds, but Manish Tana is very old. Very old. They said Manish Tana in Yerushalayim, right, when they had the Seder. Manish Tana, all the questions. Question about matzah, question about dipping, question about Haseba, question about Sli. Just one thought that's quoted in Rav Goldschneider's Haggadah, where he quotes the thoughts of Rav Kook. In source number 6, in the Haggadah Shal Achdus, he calls it, when we think about Mesubin, we think about being free. We think about feeling good about ourselves. Rav Kook li made, Shekasher am gola me'ad maso. Says something so obvious, but we have to think about it every so often. When an Am is thrown out of its homeland, there's a litmus test to the ability of that nation to survive. The survivability of that nation. They don't have their land anymore. How long are they going to last? How long are they going to last? Yadua, ki am shesharshav ne'ekarim me'ad maso. When you have an Am that's uprooted from its land, u'motzei atasmo kafu v'shulton zar, and we're in a strange land with a strange government, mispogeg v'ne'elam b'mihiris me'alamapa. How long does it take for the Greek and the Roman and the Babylonian and the Phoenician and look all around? How long does it take for that nation to disappear? Do they ever dream? Do they ever pray of returning, of revisiting what was? Has there ever been a nation in the history of the world that has ever done that? A nation that was exiled from its land and they dreamed of returning and they kept going. Ha'ayam agadol b'yota l'chayev shalam, the ultimate fear of any nation, hihi matzut al adam azara, the spreading out. Ha'istaria hochicha ki amim pashut lo sardim b'tanav gela. They don't survive. No nation has ever survived being scattered on all four corners of the earth and eventually coming back together. What land, what nation in the world has a concept of a law of return? Ach ha'am ha'yehudi eich shehu sarad. Somehow the Jewish people made it, says Rav Kook. Ketzad eslachlo asosos, ketzad saradu meo shanos shibud Mitzrayim. How is it? How is it that we survived? One answer. We were nekar from our land, but we were not nekar from our Torah. And we're the only nation that has such a connection and such an anchor. Hatshuva hi shatorah haisa me'azu mitamid ha'yesod shel umatenu. Ne'ekarnu me'artzenu, ach me'olam lo ne'ekarnu mitorasenu. And that's what nourished us. And that's what kept us going. And that's what connected every Jew to each other, even without their knowing. Rav Kook hits lahev ma'od mi'matzavo shel Am Yehudi b'yamav. Right, the last, the 1850s to the 1930s, Rav Kook's life. He was so excited because he saw not only the existence, but the dream being fulfilled. The prayers being answered after 2,000 years. Hu evin shemeata tiyah la'ameinu lo rak hakarka ruchanit shel haTorah, ela gam hakarka hagashmit shel Eretz Yisrael. And that's how we could lean and have a seba throughout history. We were able to say, kulanu b'nei choron, kulanu misubin, because we realized that we're still around. Remember a number of years ago, I've mentioned this in other shiurim, a number of years ago, probably about 4 years ago or so, I remember I was doing some recruiting in London. So I asked the Talmud, I went to the British Museum in, with one of my Talmudim, and I remember it was Parshas Bo. It was the Friday of Parshas Bo. And we went to the Egyptian room. And we saw the mummies and the pharaohs and all the great... So I remember saying to my Talmud, I said, where are the Egyptians today? I don't see any Egyptians in this museum, those Egyptians. Or Phoenicians, or Babylonians, or Ashur people, Assyrians. Or, but the Hebrews are still here. The Hebrews are still here. We're the only ones. Thousands of years later, we still do Haseba. And we've done Haseba for thousands of years. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. Avadim hayinu, that's the beginning of the answer. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, we paskin like both. We start off with Avadim hayinu, the physical bondage. Mitchilo avdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, the spiritual bondage. We do both. And at the end of Avadim hayinu, we say, no matter who we are, no matter what our talents are, kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu yodim es haTorah, whoever we are, mitzvah l'saper. Mitzvah l'saper about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So in the Chafetz Chaim Haggadah, you know, a lot of these Haggadahs weren't written by the authors, but it was just a compilation of later collectors putting the Chafetz Chaim's Torah in a Haggadah. That's what they call, I've heard that this generation is called the Malachtim. Right? What are we going to be called? Right? The Achronim didn't call themselves Achronim. The Rishonim didn't call themselves Rishonim. So they're Malachtim, because so much of what our generation, there are Machachim also, but so many Svarim are Malachtim. Right? We collect. We gather. So here too, a lot of the Haggadahs are of that genre. So in the Chafetz Chaim Haggadah, they quote a story. There was a father that once brought his son, his 10-year-old son, to the Chafetz Chaim. And he said, my son, you know, not really. I think also things were different in those days, not so long ago, but maturity set in at a younger age, I think. Well, I guess when you were working by 12 and married at 16, you know, so things started earlier. He brought his son, who was 10 years old, to the Chafetz Chaim. And again, a 10-year-old, you used to go off to yeshiva already, 10, 11 years old. And he said, my son is not really focusing like he should focus. And the Chafetz Chaim asked him, Hem yesh lo kelim, kishronos nitzrachim lelimud. Well, does he have, you have to know your child. So again, every parent will say, yeah, my son, go nuts him, he's the next God of Ador. But I guess this one was real. This one was real, and the Chafetz Chaim must have talked to him. And he says, yeah. So the Chafetz Chaim took the hand of the child. Va'amar, Bini. He says to the child, let me ask you something. He says, do you want Hashem, do you think it's nice to cause people to have a kasha on Hashem? He said, what? He said, do you want people to have kashas on Hashem? He's like, of course not, no. He said, what would my actions have any, Hashem? So the Chafetz Chaim says, Mevinim atem, we all realize that Sur Tamim Pa'alo, Hashem is perfect, Hashem is just. Kol ma'asav shel abori yisbarachim betachlis hashlemes v'adiyah. Everything Hashem does is exactly perfect. There's another story at the Chafetz Chaim, just parenthetically. I mentioned this a couple years ago in the Drasha. So they were once playing, when the Chafetz Chaim was 5 years old, they were playing If You Were Hashem. They used to play other games than what we play today. So they were going around, If You Are Hashem, you know, one of them says, I'd give money to that almana, and If You Were Hashem, I'd, you know, this, I'd do that. And they got to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, if I was Hashem, I wouldn't change anything. Because if it was supposed to be changed, then Hashem would have changed it. So, if I was Hashem, I would
have things exactly as they are. So back to the, that's what, he was a child. So now he's the adult. So he's talking to this child.
Everything Hashem does is ultimate.
As it says in Ha'azinu. So he says, but different people have different talents. Hashem gave a shoemaker the wisdom to be a shoemaker. Hashem gave a baker the wisdom to be a baker. Hashem gave a wagon driver the wisdom to be a wagon driver. Because Hashem knows that the world needs bakers and shoemakers and wagon drivers and rabbis and doctors, and the world needs all different fields of people. Ha'olam nisrach l'rav l'rash yeshiva, nisrach l'chaitanim, to tailors, l'ratzanim. And the person that's going to be a sandlar, Hashem gave him the wisdom to be a sandlar. And the person who's supposed to be this, and for the person who's supposed to be a gadol adar, and a talmid chacham, and a teacher of Torah to many, he gave that koach. Says the Chafetz Chaim to the child, you have that koach. You want people to have kashas on Hashem? You have such koach to be so great, says the Chafetz Chaim. To be a navon, to be a chacham. So he knew this would encourage him, and the child realized that this was his, these were his kochos, and this was his destiny. Maybe like the Netziv story, as he was lying in bed, right? Where's the Netziv? Where's the Hemek Dover? Where's the Hemek Shela? Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim. The message for us is each of us have kochos that were given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to try to do our best to use them to the best of our abilities. And no matter what field we're in, we could be a chacham and a navon, and a teacher of Torah to our friends, to our family, to all of those around us. Okay, two stories in a row. Just worked out that way. So we get to the next paragraph. Well, the next paragraph is a story, so we can have a story about a story. Right? The story of the five rabbis sitting in Bnei Brak. They all went to Rabbi Akiva. We mentioned in the past the Aruch HaShulchan Sagada, because they were, Rabbi Akiva is always the optimist in life. He always sees things positively, and they were living 150 years after the Churban. They were depressed. They went to Rabbi Akiva. But the end of the story is they were talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim all night, until the Talmidim came and said, oh, it's morning. The Talmidim came. So the story is told here in the Haggadah Vasafra Kvotra, Rav Zadel Epstein. Right? He was a Rav in Mashgiach and Torah Or. He was Nifter in 2007. Mashgiach Zadel Epstein, I'm in Hago, Shalagon, Rav Shlomo Arakabi, Mashgiach, Yeshivas Grodna. Shaya Osik, Vesibri Tzis Mitzrayim Palalayla. He used to be Osik all night in Sibri Tzis Mitzrayim. And his Talmidim, right when he saw they started getting tired, I guess he had Talmidim at a Seder, he saw they were starting to yawn, he said, guys, you go to sleep. You can go to sleep, it's okay. And the Talmidim used to ask him, Rebbe, I don't understand. You're staying up all night. Let's just throw water on our face and we'll stay up. We also want to be Sibur Yis Mitzrayim. So he quotes this story. Right, they were in Bnei Brak, the Talmidim come and say, yes, not Kriya Shal Shacharis. What do you mean the Talmidim come? Where were the Talmidim? Why weren't the Talmidim with the Rebbe? Where were they? It must be that the Rebbeim saw the Talmidim weren't enjoying it, weren't involved in it, and it was more Simchas Yontif at a certain point for them to go to sleep than to stay up and talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And sleeping on Yontif is also a value. It's also Simchas Yontif. And one always has to measure the law of diminishing returns. The law of, if you push one way, then you're going to lose somewhere else. So it must be, the Rebbeim told the Talmidim, even Bizman HaTanaim, okay, you can go to sleep now. It's midnight, it's 1 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, you can go take a rest now. We're the Rebbeim, we're into it, we don't feel anything, we're going to continue. Shatamidim elu hergishu ba'yefut. Ken gamatem, mi bachem shechash. Whoever's tired, no problem. Because there are many different values in the hierarchy of values. And the Rebbeim realized that the Talmidim have a certain limit. And that's fine. And now it's time to sleep, which is also a mitzvah. And to have a proper davening the next morning. The Talmidim weren't there because the Rebbeim told them to go to sleep. Because the Rebbeim understood
the hierarchy of values of Simchas Yantif. Okay, moving right along. Amar Blazer ben Azariah, source number 9. Amar Blazer ben Azariah, the Mishnah from Maseches Brachos, Harei Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, Velo Zachisi Shivim Ratzias Mitzrayim, Adra Joshem Ben Zoma, the Machlokas Tanoim, Ben Zoma, Yemei Chayecha, Yamim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, Leilos, Yemei Chayecha, Olam Azeh, Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lahavi, Limos HaMashiach. Even be Yemos HaMashiach, we're going to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Brachos, source number 9, he quotes it, Amru lo lo she'te'aker Yitzias Mitzrayim mimkoma, ela hagu'ula iker, Yitzias Mitzrayim tfe'ilola. We're going to talk about Mashiach, you know, even more. But Yitzias Mitzrayim will be there too. Right, I think I quoted in the past from Rav Haigon maybe, I don't remember who. Everything about Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, and everything is all based on one phrase in the Bris Ben Abasarim. Right? V'achrachein Yisu Berchush Gadol. V'avadim V'inu Osam V'achrein Yisu Berchush Gadol. One pasuk. One pasuk causes all of that. Could we imagine what the Gula Asid is going to be? There are prakim and prakim in Yeshayahu and Yechezkel describing what the Gula Asid is going to be. We can't fathom. If the Makkos and the whole process of Yitzias Mitzrayim was based on one pasuk, this is hundreds of psukim. Can't fathom it. So that's going to be the ikker. But here in the Haggadah's Gedol Yerushalayim, they quote a mashal to help us understand what it's going to be like. Yitzias Mitzrayim, when Geula comes, he quotes a mashal. There was an ani, a poor man that was very sick. Poor sick man. He didn't have any appetite to eat, as often happens when one is ill. Finally, there was a doctor that healed him. He got his appetite back. But he was still poor. So he had an appetite, and he ate, and he was feeling better. But he was still poor. So he said thank you to the doctor, but, you know, he went on with his life. When he became rich, and he started eating and having lavish feasts, then he went back to the doctor and said, well, now I have to say thank you. Because now I realize what I've been missing. Now I realize, you know, what it's, you know, I thought that, you know, there was a certain level, but now I realize, wow! When we went out of Mitzrayim, and soon thereafter, a couple hundred years later, for the past 2,000 years, we've been in Golos. So we realize what Yitzias Mitzrayim is, but we don't fully recognize it. Because we're still poor. We're spiritually poor. We're not connected upstairs as much as we would want. When Mashiach comes, then we become rich. Osher of Ruchnius. Then we're going to look back and say, wow, Hashem, Yitzias Mitzrayim was amazing. Thank you so much. We're going to recognize then how much we should be saying thank you now. But right now, we're not there yet. Right now, we don't have everything we can to enjoy, and therefore, it's limited. Our recognition is limited. But we hope one day that our recognition will be even more. Right? And any time when somebody is ill, when the anesthesia starts wearing off, they start feeling pain, that when somebody gets totally better and is out playing sports again, that's when they call the doctor. Not when they're only half healed. Now we're still in Golus. Be'ez Hashem. We'll get to that stage. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. We've spoken so much about this in the past. We're going to revisit one of the questions we've dealt with in the past. HaMakom. Why is Hashem called HaMakom here? There are a lot of names of Hashem. Here's HaMakom. So we mentioned in past years an answer of Rav Schwab and Rav Salvechik, who both say that we use HaMakom two times, two tfilos. At a Shiva house, we say HaMakom Yenachem Eschem, and in Achenu. Achenu Kabbais Yisrael, Hanasun Basar Vashivya, HaMakom Yerachem Aleihem. Dafka, those places we say HaMakom. Why? HaMakom means Hashem fills the world. He is the place. There's no place without him. Hamakom. So even when a person feels distant from Hashem, after somebody suffers a loss, after somebody is in a difficult state, we say, Hamakom, Hashem is near you. Hashem is near you. We're about to start the Dalet Banim, and some children, some Jews, feel distant from Hashem. Maybe they feel a little Rashadik, any of the Elishol, even Tam. So we say, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hashem is connected and fills the space, connected to every Jew, wherever that Jew may be. So that's the thought in past years. But you look in Rav Pinkus, in source number 10, says Rav Pinkus in the Haggadah, a different shot of Hamakom. Tonight, I'm adding it a little bit to his vart, tonight is going to be all about Hashkachas Hashem. Everything Hashem did, the Nisim and the flows that Hashem did, that's the mitzvah of the evening. The Rambam says we have to focus on everything Hashem did for us this night. Yitzias Mitzrayim. But let's remember the first thing Hashem did. The first thing Hashem did in order for everything to be created, and that is, He created space. Because nothing could exist in the world that we recognize without space. Hashem created Makom. We can't understand what that means. Because we don't know what it means not to have Makom. Right? We don't know what it means that the Aron didn't take up space in the Kodesh Kodashim, based on its dimensions. We can't fathom that. That's miraculous. Hashem created Makom. That was the first step of His godless. Well, He existed, but the first thing He did in the physical realm. B'chol mitzias efshar v'tzarich l'msorat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is everywhere, but when we see space, when we see vast horizons, you look out into the sky, right? The Gemara in Menachos, you see the blue of the Tcheles, reminds you of the sea, of the Shamayim, of the Kisei HaKavod. Why is that? Because when we look into the sky and the sea, we see the vastness of Makom. We see the vastness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of space. Hashem Yisbarach bara mitzius hama'avsheres mama v'kiyim l'chol dover v'zu b'riyas Makom. The Bria that reflects, that expresses the godless of Hashem more than any other, He Hamakom. Space itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosei Asa Olam Kulo Ba'amakom Hu Nosei Akol. HaKshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nistar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nistar. But a person looks, a person sees when we see Makom. That's what we recognize in the Haggadah. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, and then we go right into, after Makom, what's the next? What was the purpose of creating Makom and everything that takes up Makom? Baruch Shanasan Torah, Lamo Yisrael. Right, Bereshis, Bishvil Torah, Shenikra Reshis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikra Reshis. That was the purpose. But the first step was Makom. And we have to recognize that. To thank Hashem for creating Makom. HaMechin Mitzadei Gover, every step that we take, we recognize and we thank Hashem for the Makom. And then we have the Dalet Banim. Each one requires elaboration. Each one we could focus on. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam. Right. What's the opposite of a Chacham? A Tipesh. What's the opposite of a Rasha? A Tzaddik. Why is a Chacham in Rasha? Right, those usually aren't the same. Tam. A number of Haggadahs. Right, we quote this every couple of years. We've quoted it, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik talks about this, but there are other Haggadahs I saw also talk about it, that maybe it's not four separate sons, it's really the development of four stages of our maturity. Because we don't like to label children. That's not a Jewish thing. Not a Jewish thing. We don't label. Right, every child is a potential Moshe Rabbeinu, as we've discussed in other shiurim, based on other thoughts. So we don't like to label, so Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, again, and others say maybe it's just four stages of our development. When we're born, we're Eini Yodei Lishol. We're just dependent on our mother, and no questions. We just cry when we want something. Then we get to the toddler stage, and that's a Tam. What does a Tam ask? Mazos. What's this? What's this? What's this? It's curiosity. That's the toddler and a little older than toddler. Then comes the teenage years, Russia, rebellious stage, different ages, different stages, different lengths of time. And finally, Chacham, which he calls independence. Independence. And Rav Aaron says, every single person in life has all four stages in them. There's a general process, but they're not mutually exclusive. Even when we become a Chacham, we still have a little Russia in us. And hopefully we have a little bit of Tam, positive naivete in us. And sometimes we feel hopeless, like in the Enyo de Alishol, and we don't even know what to ask. But it's really four stages, and we speak to each four parts of our religious personality at the Seder night to try to take all of them into the story of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But if you have in front of you source number 12, look in Rabbi Bernstein's Haggadah, relating to the Russia. Relating to the Russia. And we look at the Russia says, Ma avodah zos lachem, what is this avodah that you're doing? What's the difference between his question and the Chacham's question? Not for now. Well, what are you doing? And what do we say? We knock out his teeth. What kind of lushin is that? And again, every Haggadah has a pshat, because that can't be true. That can't be literal. What does it mean that we knock out his teeth? Hake achinav. Such a harsh response. Everyone's familiar. Blunting his teeth. We need to establish in a general sense what the goal is. Moreover, perhaps we relate to the harsh response of the wicked child because we imagine him to be someone else's child. After all, very often, the question of whether a child is evil or just misunderstood depends on whether we're talking about my child or my neighbor's child. Right, that's a great line. Right? However, we must remember that this is the response that the father gives to his own child. So how are we supposed to understand this? Right? Doesn't the father have an obligation to try to see the good in the child? It says Rabbi Bernstein, 100%. We're misunderstanding. Or there's a deeper idea here. We're not rejecting the Russia. We're not saying, oh, if you were around, forget it, you wouldn't have been redeemed. We're not saying that. One of the primary rules of raising children is that a parent can never lose faith in his child. Even if the child says or does things that are objectionable, the parent cannot make the mistake of identifying the child with his words or deeds. That's a message for parents and for grandparents and for siblings and for whole family members. We cannot judge a child based on what they say or what they do or what they don't say or what they don't do. Were he to do this, the result would be to consider the child to be fundamentally flawed or bad. In which case, there will be no way to work toward improving things. This is his nature. He's a bad kid. If somebody's a bad kid, you can't make them good. Rather, the parent needs to consider the bad behavior to be the product of other factors. Exposures to bad influences, lack of appreciation, curiosity to see how the parents will react, pushing the limits, how far could I get? Says Rabbi Bernstein, the teeth reflect what the child is saying. You know what we have to try to do? The child says something terrible, says something disgusting. What is this Judaism? What do we have to do? We have to try to knock out his teeth, meaning don't let him swallow those words and make it part of him. Just knock it out. He said it, just knock it out of his mouth so it doesn't go down into his mouth. Hake achinav, knock his teeth, meaning knock it away from him. Because it's not him. It means he is not to define the child based on the objectionable question coming out of his mouth. He must reach past that to the child whom he knows to be good. And as other Haggadahs point out, the Gematria, the word Russia is Gematria 570. Shinov, teeth, is 366. 570 minus 366 is 204, which is Tzaddik. So if you knock out Shinov, if you knock out what he's saying on the teeth, you can make the Russia, you can make the Russia into the Tzaddik. And that's why even if you look further, it doesn't say that the parent says to the child, if you would have been there, lo hayita nigal. We say if he would have been there. Ilu haya sham. Not hayita sham. Because we're not really talking to the child. Maybe we're talking about the negative influences that person would not have been redeemed. You, my child, should learn from the experience of others that negative attitudes could often beget negative consequences. Prevent him, further, from chewing and swallowing it. Encourage him to spit it out while it's still in his mouth. That's Hakiyachinov. Because it's not him. We mentioned also in Pe'al Deshiram, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik points out that often in Shas, when somebody is talking about themselves, but something negative about themselves, they say, Hahu Gavra. Hahu Gavra. That person, that guy. Ana is I when I'm talking something good about myself. That's the me. That's the real me. Hahu Gavra. So we try to get the child to say, this is the Hahu Gavra. This is the Acher. This isn't the Elisha ben Avuya. This is the Acher in you. And we have to try to make sure to do that to the best of our abilities, though it's a challenging balance. Okay, Yachol Me'Rosh Chodesh. The Medrash, you might think that Tzibetziz Mitzrayim starts from Rosh Chodesh. Right, Tam Alarm by Yamahu. Right, this is why the Minug of saying this, the Haggadah, Shabbos Haggadah afternoon. Somebody asked me this week, oh, so Shabbos Haggadah is this week or next week? I'm like, Lamai Nafkamina. It's only an afkamina for me. I have to give a drasha this week, Brother Hashem. The real Shabbos HaGadol is next week. L'mayin afkamina, those who have the minhag of saying the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol afternoon and the Haftorah, it's next week, not this week. This week is just the unofficial part of Shabbos HaGadol. But anyway, the Vilna Gaon says, based on this paragraph, you shouldn't say it. He argues on the Ramah. Right? The Ramah says to say it. The Gemara says, no, it says here, Yachol Me'Rosh Chodesh Tam Alamar, no. Rav Soloveitchik here in the Siach HaGrid discusses, I think we mentioned this in other Shiurim, but I didn't see it in the Haggadah Shiur. What's the Hav Amina? That we would talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim even before Pesach. There's no Hav Amina, Yachol Me'Rosh Chodesh. There's no Hav Amina to sit in the Sukkah before Sukkos. There's no Hav Amina to shake a lulav early to blow shofar before Rosh Hashanah. So why is it that we would have thought that we have to start talking about Sipur even before the holiday itself? So explains Rav Soloveitchik, again, it's a larger piece, but I'll just mention the point. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, well-known formulation, the Rambam says, it's a mitzvah l'sakar b'yitzias Mitzrayim, just like Zohar as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsha. The Rambam compares b'yitzias Mitzrayim to Kiddush. Many different shatim, why that is, what that comparison is meant to teach us, but says Rav Soloveitchik, Zechira Shabbos starts before Shabbos. Zechira Shabbos means the whole week we're looking forward to Shabbos. We're getting ready for Shabbos. We're buying things for Shabbos. Right? The Gemara in Beitza, if you find something nice, save it for Shabbos. If you find something nicer, eat the first one, save the second one. So says Rav Soloveitchik, if it's like that kind of Zechira, maybe I would have thought it starts before Pesach. You have to look forward to it and get ready for it. Kamash Malan not. But Kamash Malan doesn't mean we reject the whole thing. Remember, we have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day of our life. Sipur is one night. Maybe that's the Kamash Malan. You don't need the Sipur early because you have the Zechira. But that's the Hav Amina. The comparison to Shabbos and the fact that I would have thought that it starts early. Okay. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. So we've had some stories already. We had a halacha point back in Yachatz. We've had some varts. Now we have a heavy drush. But it's a great piece of drush. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. The Be'er HaChaim. In the Be'er HaChaim here, he quotes, Klal Gadol. So let's just have that first phrase. Even if you don't like the connection to the phrase in the paragraph, it's a great message. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Originally, ovdei avodah zarah v'yachshav kervan alakam avodasa. So says Reb Biderman. Klal gadol hu b'avodas Hashem. Di'af al pishet tzarech adam la'asos b'chol yom tamid cheshbon hanefesh v'livdog ma'isa b'tadirus. Even though, yes, of course, we have to do a cheshbon hanefesh and always focus on, you know, what we've done, and the tzaddikim have a cheshbon hanefesh every night, and they have a spodidus, and they focus, they have to do tshuva. But still, we cannot get stuck in the past. Mikom akom ein laharer ulehisameg yoser midaya laavar. Shelo ayatov. I can't believe I did this. I didn't do well. I messed up. If we get too much stuck in the past, then we're just going to be stuck in the past. Ha'ikar lachshov mikanu la'aba. Heich lehetiv drachev alasuz nachas roch liotzer. What can I do today? Right now is the beginning of the rest of my life. What could I do now? Because if I focus on the past and just get depressed about our mistakes, we're not going to get anywhere. And he quotes this from the Divrei Shmuel. Mitchila, if we focus so much on Mitchila, what we did beforehand, Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu. It would just be stuck like Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We won't get anywhere. We don't grow. We'll be worshipping our past. The Achshav, but if I focus on the now, if I focus on what's in front of me now, what do I have to do? Kervanu Amakom Avodaso. Then I'm going to accomplish a lot. And I'm going to be able to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his avoda. And he says, Al Pidrush, the Malachim say to Lot's wife, don't look back. Don't look back. If you look back, you're not going to move. And she became an etziv melach, a pillar. Don't look back. And he says, Maisim b'chol yom. He says, a driver. Every once in a while, a driver has to look behind him for a second to make sure there's nobody coming, to make sure that he could change lanes, to make sure, but you can't keep looking in the back or else you're just going to get into an accident. You look back for a second, but your focus is in front of you. Your focus is where you're going. Every once in a while, you have to look to the side and look back, but that's not what the main thing is. Miyad alav l'amshich ala, v'lolis ameh ba'avar yoser midai. And he quotes a scary story from the Yerushalmi in Peya, on the top left. He quotes this from the Leif Simcha, from Ger. He quotes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Yerushalmi in Peya, they were walking, they were going to be Rochitz in Chami Tveria. They met an Ani, and the Ani asked them for tzedakah, and they said, you know what, we're just going to take a bath, you know, we'll get you on the way back. They go, this is like a Nachum Ish Gamzu story, if you remember from Tainus, they go on their way back, they see, the Ani died. The Ani died. So what would you expect their reaction to be? They say, no, let's bury him quickly. We weren't zochet to help him while he was alive. At least let's help him now. And ask the Leif Simcha, what would your reaction be? I'm such an idiot. I can't believe this. I caused him to die. I'm upset. They didn't do that. They were great Amoraim. Okay, they must have felt they made a mistake. But they said, what's now? Here's a mace mitzvah. And the Gemara continues that as they were picking him up to bury him, bags of money fell out of his pocket. And they realized that it wasn't because of them that he died. If they would have just sat there and been depressed and cried, they would never have realized that it wasn't even their fault. But it was because they acted. They said, what should I do now? I think I mentioned in the past the Gra. The Gra says on V'haya is a lashon of Simcha. And Vayahi is a lashon of Tsar. Vayahi b'me'achashverosh, lashon Tsar. V'haya, right, is lashon Simcha. Vayam Shamoa. Why? So the Gra says, Yehi is future. Vayehi, Vavahipuch, that's when we take our future and we bring it into the past. Right? And we say we're stuck. We're stuck. Our future is stuck because of what we did in the past. That's Lashon Tsar, Vayehi. Vihaya, Haya is past. Vihaya is Lashon Simcha. Why? Because we take our past and we build on it and we are Vavahipuch into the future. And we change things, whatever we can do in the future, that's a Lashon Simcha. That's the Lashon Simcha. Okay. Baruch Shomer, after Chasu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promise. He took us out, Chishev as Akates. So just a thought, a small thought. Rav Asher Weiss says in his Agada, in source number 16, there were three reasons that we didn't end up having to stay for all 400 years. It was only 210. Three reasons. Number one, Bizchuzavos HaKadoshim, Rechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al banav chaviv. Hashem loved the Avos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So we didn't deserve it, but he loved the Avos, number one. Number two, the most famous reason, Koshi HaShibud, Hishlimis Arach HaGolas, because it was so hard. We'll hopefully get back to that a little bit later. And number three, B'Shem HaArizal, right, Hashem, we were on the 49th level of Tumah, that's a Zohar, and if we would have stayed one more second, we would not be identifiable anymore as B'nai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, so Hashem's promise to redeem us would not have been possible. Three reasons. Schus Avos, Koshi HaShibud, and the promise Hashem had. Suggests, that's the Baruch Shomer after Chasal Yisroel. Suggests the Minchas Asher, all three are alluded to in the beginning of Va'era. Based on the Psukim of Geula. Va'era l'Avram el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov, the Avos. V'gam ha'kemosi es brisi. L'aseis lemateres kanan. The promise. Shamati es nakas b'nei Yisrael. The sheephood. All three reasons mentioned in the Torah Shebichsav, in the beginning of the era, as we get into the Dal Lashonos of Geul. Again, some are smaller, some are longer. Okay, v'hisha amda. V'hisha amda l'avoseinu v'lanu. V'hi shamda. There are so many varts about what the v'hi is. The meshachachma, you pick up the wine, we mentioned in the past. V'hi might be Rashi Tevis. But the pashtus is, the simple interpretation is, it's the promise, the previous paragraph. V'hi, the promise. V'hi shamda l'avoseinu v'lanu. So you look in the Haggadah, the Kol Aryeh. See, he quotes there, if you look back at in the Bris Ben Abasarim, which is the promise that we're talking about, Hashem promised, he says, I'm going to take you out, v'gam es agoy asher yavodu don anochi, and also, I'm going to judge the nation that subjugates you. What's the v'gam? And also, as if it's a separate element. Shouldn't it work together? We're saved and they're punished. We go free and they lose. We go up, they go down. What's the v'gam? What's the extra? So he quotes, and also he has another question, don anochi. Shouldn't it be adun in the future? Don anochi means right then, present tense, in the times of Avram Avinu. Adun, I will judge them. V'nir l'anias da'iti, he explains. The be'emes, if we think about Am Yisrael, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were not deserving. What zchuyos did we have? What did we do? Nothing. We did. Hashem had to give us something, Mila and Karban Pesach, but we didn't deserve it. Remember the Malachim? Halal of the Avodah Zarah, halal of the Avodah Zarah. We didn't deserve it. You know what the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? He doesn't judge our behavior based on where we are at the moment of Geula. Because the subjugation and the torture is just too much. And Hashem understands. He can't expect that. He judges the behavior based on when He promised. And when Hashem promised to Avram Avinu, did Am Yisrael do anything wrong yet? No. Done, present tense. Not Adun, not then. Done right now. You're not going to deserve it then, but I'm not judging you then. I'm judging you now because I'm the one maybe that put you into the gullus in the first place in order for your good. Shagam Adin Shal Mitzriyam Ye Nigzar Ata right now. Hey, Madayim B'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, K'sherim V'tzadikim. And that's the extra promise, V'gam. And that's the V'hi Shamda, that promise. He took us out, and in every generation. Remember, B'itach Hishana, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. If we're Zoche, then we'll come out earlier. And if we're not Zoche, it's going to happen B'itach. What does that mean? That means even if we don't deserve it, there's still going to be a moment of redemption. Even if we don't deserve it, He's still going to redeem us. Why? Because of done. Because He promised earlier when we did deserve it. And that's what He's going to go by. And that's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzei Ulumad. As we move. Remember what Lavan tried to do. And many commentaries wonder what did Lavan try to do. We don't find anywhere that Lavan wanted to uproot Yaakov, Bikish, Lavan, Lachar, Esakol. Right? We find Esav, we find Paro, and Lavan's worse. So many Pshatim, we quoted them in Chasashra in the past, beautiful comments. But here in Rabbi Sachs's Haggadah, also within the year, Rabbi Sachs discusses, he quotes the following parable. Lavan didn't try to kill us, you're right. He tried to befriend us. The sun and the wind were once arguing as to which was stronger. The sun said, I am stronger because I give light and warmth to the whole world. The wind said, I'm stronger. Nothing could stand in my way. Just then a farmer began plowing his field. The sun said to the wind, let's settle this matter once and for all. Who can make the farmer remove his jacket? The wind accepted the challenge and began to blow. But the harder it blew, the more tightly the farmer clung to his jacket until the wind gave up exhausted. Then the sun began to shine. As soon as the farmer felt the heat, he took the jacket off. Warmth is more powerful than wind. And so it was with Am Yisrael. You know when our enemies really get us? When they're warm to us. When they befriend us. Because Am Yisrael, we have an amazing track record when people torture us. And when people force us to be like them, Rachmana Litzlan, we have an amazing track record of standing up for our principles and standing up for what we believe in. When there are Esavs and there are Hamans, then we might not individually survive, but the nation survives. The danger was that he would remain with love and forget who he was. So it has been throughout Jewish history. The more Jews suffered, the more they prayed, studied, and kept the commands. The paradox is that the danger to Jewish continuity has not been slavery and suffering, but affluence and freedom. As we see over the past 80 years, how many Jews we have lost due to affluence and freedom. Interpreted this way, the passage contains a powerful message, says Rabbi Sachs. Do not think that the story of Paro ends with the Exodus. It only begins there. It is one thing to believe in God when you need his help. It's another when you've already received it. Affluence, no less than slavery, can make us forget who we are and why. And throughout the generations, most of the generations that they've read the Haggadah, they didn't have to focus so much on the love on theme. But over the past couple of decades, it's something that really our generation has to focus on and recognize and realize that we're losing our brothers. Related to that, I'm not going to read it just to save time, but Rav Aviner has a Holocaust story in source number 19 in his Haggadah relating to lachatz, relating to tzchak, to remember difficult times. Again, we have to realize, what does it mean, gnus? What does it mean to be unable to be free and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But we'll skip to the Makos. The Makos, after the Psukim, we have the Makos, Tatzach Hadash Bachav, Dam Sfardeya. We've spoken about various Makos in the past. We'll talk about one theme, which again, many talk about. We'll get back to Rav Aviner in a different thought. That's why I'm not leaving him out. But there's another thought that I have in the Haggadah from him too. Rav Dessler writes in the Haggadah they put together with from Rav Dessler's thoughts. We know the Psukim tell us, Rashi quotes it also, Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Moshe couldn't do. Moshe was not allowed to be involved in the first three Makos. Why? Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov. The water saved Moshe Rabbeinu. The dirt saved Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it wasn't really. Didn't really save Moshe, right, the next day. Right, what happened? People saw, so it saved him for 24 hours. Less than that. But either way, the Hakaras HaTov, he wasn't allowed to hit the water. He wasn't allowed to hit the dirt. Answer of Dessler, two questions. One of them, the obvious one, that's asked, what's the point with inanimate objects? The dirt's not going to feel bad. The water's not going to feel the ingratitude. What's the message for Moshe Rabbeinu? But even deeper, answer of Dessler, I don't understand. If Moshe hits the water and the water becomes dam, the water is then an unbelievable kli for Kiddushim Shemayim. Isn't that the most amazing thing that Moshe could do for the water? Isn't that the purpose of what all objects in the world are there for? To bring Kiddushim Hashem? So, Moshe could explain to the water, I'm going to hit you because, you know, there's going to be a Kiddush Hashem. So, what exactly is the limit? Explains Rav Dessler. When it comes to Midos, you can't give intellectual explanations. They go to emotions. And if Moshe Rabbeinu, we need Moshe Rabbeinu, the perfect spiritual being, if we need him to teach us Hakaras HaTov, It's not about the intellectual explanation of, it's going to be a Kiddush Hashem. No, there has to be something natural. If something, even if something did something for me, I have to, as a Makir Tov, I have to act in a certain way. Remember the story they stay over from Rav Gusman? He used to water the flowers outside of his yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Why do you water the flowers? Because for 2 years outside of Vilna, I lived in the forest. And I lived off of flowers. And they saved my life. So I have a karas hatov to the flowers. It wasn't the same flowers. Wasn't the same there. But it was mitzad he felt. It was mitzad what he had to do. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, it's not about, let's explain it intellectually. And therefore, there are certain elements that have to be automatic. And then at the end of the Makos, we have, again, we could spend the whole shiur on the Makos, Ayin, Parsha Shiurim on Va'era and Bo in past years. But we have Moshe Rabbeinu's only reference in the Haggadah. Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo. I think most years we quote the thought that I heard many years ago from Rabbi Palkovitz, Zechrono Levracha, why Dafka did we say, we not mention Moshe in the Haggadah except for once. He explained, who was the first person to ever do the mitzvah of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu, his kids weren't there. You think Moshe Rabbeinu focused on himself when he told over the story? So we don't mention Moshe because we mimic Moshe Rabbeinu's telling over. So we don't mention him and that gives him the greatest kavod. He's probably pretty upset about that, but that's what we could do for Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you look, Rav Aviner has a comment in Source 21 from his Haggadah. Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo, Oz Yasher Moshe. Vayaminu b'Hashem, Oz Yasher Moshe. Rav Aviner quotes from Rav Kook. You could have the greatest miracles in the world. You're still not going to say Shira unless it starts off with Emunah. Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo, Oz Yasher Moshe. The greatest miracles. It doesn't start off with a belief. Miracles, you know, strengthen belief. Miracles deepen belief. But Maran Rav Kook Omer, Shalu Kofer Nochach B'Mamad Briyas HaOlam. If there was a Kofer that was alive when Hashem created the world, B'chozos Nishar Kofer V'Nosein Piris Sechlatani Lakol. He'll figure out something to, some way that, you know, to explain how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaRambam Madgish Sharosh HaManeh Soleo V'Chamachmeik. Moshe Rabbeinu L'Aminu Bo V'Chulu V'Chulu. Kodem Zeh Lo Aminu Bo Ne'amanu Shiyomedes L'Olam. Ne'amanu Shiyimachareh Hiru Machshava V'Chulu. The first step is to have emuna, and then it could be deepened. It could be deepened by the Nisim. But it's not going to be natural from the Nisim. So we have to look at our emuna and deepen it before anything else. And then we get to Dayenu. Dayenu, every single step of the way, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single stage. And afterwards we say, Al achas kama v'kama toba kfula mechupeles, double, triple double. We double it and double it and double it, toba. Says Rav Palm, what's the additional? We go through every one and then we say kefel kfula mechupeles. Says Rav Palm, because I'll give a mashal. He doesn't give this mashal, I'll give this mashal. Sometimes if you ever go stargazing, you go outside, and you lie outside somewhere, and then all of a sudden you look up, you see a couple of stars. And then as your eyes get used to the darkness, you see more stars. And more stars. And you thought there was like 10, and then there was 100, then 1,000, then thousands, millions, and all of a sudden you see it's never ending. We think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. We think there are 15 things we have to say thank you for. But you know what? If we think about it a little more, within each of those 15 things, there's 15 things to say thank you for. And within each of those 15 things, there's another 15 things to say thank you for. The more we focus on what we have to say thank you for, the more we'll realize it's kfula u'mechupelas. Says Rav Palm, A person who puts effort into comprehending how many chasadim Hashem has performed for him will come to realize that those chasadim are double what they seem to be at first glance. And even at that point, he shouldn't think he fulfilled his obligation. It's mechupelas. It keeps going. There should be a geometric progression in his recognition of the chasadim. The more we contemplate, the more chasadim we notice until we realize there is no end. And that's what our Seder is all about. To dissect each tova in order to realize that whatever we have managed to understand, this is only the beginning. That's the true purpose of saying Dayenu. Keep breaking it down and breaking it down. Because we realize there's more and more. I quoted many years ago, I think, the story. This is from Rav Haigon, the only story from Rav Haigon that I know. That the, I remember Rav Haigon comes back to his Talmidim one time. He says, I have to do tshuva. I have to do tshuva. He said, what do you have to do tshuva for, Rebbe? You're going to go to Lador. What do you have to do tshuva for? I have to do tshuva. He said, I was just at an inn. I was traveling. And at the inn, I was fine. They treated me fine. And then as I was leaving, somebody recognized who I was. Like, Rav Haigon, look at the Gadol HaDor. And all of a sudden, the innkeeper comes over to me. He's like, oh, you're the Gadol HaDor. I didn't realize who you are. Oh my gosh, I would have given you the grand suite. I would have given you a super breakfast. I would have given you this. He's like, you treated me fine. Everything good. So you didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He's like, no, but if I would have known, I would have done even more. I would have done it. It's like, you did fine. He's like, no, if I would have known. And he says, I realized. Because he had a new recognition of who I was, he felt bad for what he did because now he had a new recognition. Every day I have a new recognition of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for me. So every day I have to do tshuva. Why didn't I serve him yesterday as I did today? Every day is kfulo muchupeles. And that's what Dayenu is all about. And we end off Magid by saying Halel and Lefichach and B'chol Dor V'Dor. We have to try to see ourselves as if we left Egypt. Remember, a very hard mitzvah, challenging mitzvah, but that's what we have to do. Says the Nesiv Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, why Dafka Leil HaSeder is the only time, in general we're always supposed to relive, but Dafka formulated as the mitzvah is only Leil HaSeder. Ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim, as if we went out tonight. Says the Nesiv Shalom, in a certain sense, every date of the calendar revisits every event that happened. That's true. But there's something unique about Leil HaSeder. Because what does it say in the Haggadah? We say it, Lo Ayidei Malach, Lo Ayidei Saraf, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo Ba'atzma. Hashem did it. Anything Hashem does is eternal. And every other being is dependent existence, physical, even a Malach. Even a Malach is not eternal. Only Hashem and everything Hashem does is eternal. Hashem himself did Yitzias Mitzrayim, did Makas Bechoros, performed the Geula. If that's true, then it's eternal every single Tezva of Nisan. Every single Tezva of Nisan. Rak Maaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Heim Nitzchiyim. V'pnei Shehu Yisbarach Nitzchi. And that's why it's B'chol Dor V'Dor. We could go out of our Mitzarim. We could go out of Mitzrayim every year. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. And He's the one. He's the one. Okay. Moving right along. Let's talk about Charoses. We have Pesach, we have Matzah, we have Maror. But let's talk a little bit about Charoses. Just close the door. Just tell him to be quiet. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Raivin. The Rambam and the Raivin. Are you supposed to dip your matzah in Charoses? That's a machlokas. Says the Rambam, you dip your matzah in Charoses. Umetabel matzah b'charoses v'ochel. You dip your matzah into charoses and you eat it. And the Ravid says on the Rambam, zu hevel. Classic Ravid, right? Nonsense. No, it's not the, it's not what you're supposed to do. What is the Ravid so upset about? So we have one piece of lumdus. One piece of hashkafic lumdus in the shir also. So this I would say over at the meal. You know, you have to know exactly, you know, what people are up to when you get here. People want to eat the matzah in the morning and start the meal. So, say this over at the meal. What is the Rav getting so upset about? So Rav Warman from Hank, years ago, in his beautiful Sefer Oras HaPesach, he quotes a thought that he heard from the Aderet. From the Aderet, right? Rav Kook's father-in-law. So he says the following. We know matzah is zecher le-cheres. Zecher le-cheres. That's why we do heseba when it comes to matzah. Zecher le-cheres. Charoses is zecher le-tit. The Gemara tells us, right? We think about the mortar, the cement. So the matzah is zecher le-cheres. The charoses is zecher le-tit. Is it appropriate for those two to be mixed? There's another Rambam Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam tells us, again, we referred to this before. Right, this is in, oh, I didn't give it to you because he quotes it. Right? Why were the Mitzrayim, question that's dealt with by the Rishonim, why were the Mitzrayim deserving to be punished? Wasn't it all forecast already? Bris ben Abasarim, Hashem already told them. You're going to be in a strange land. They're going to be punished. Why was it the Mitzrayim's fault? They were supposed to be in here. They were supposed to be subjugated. So there's Machlokas Rambam Ravid there. The Rambam says, well, any Egyptian could have said, well, I'm not going to do it. It wasn't Nikzar on any specific Egyptian. Each Egyptian could have said, I'm not going to do it. If they chose to do it, they're punished. Okay. The Ravid and the Ramban, by the way, say, what are you talking about? Hashem says this should be done, you should jump and do it. Says the Ravid and the Ramban, but says the Ravid, no, you know why? Because they went much harder than was forecast. Hashem said you'll be servants and subjugated. They didn't say you'll be tortured. They didn't say that they're going to throw your babies into the river. They didn't say that. They went above and beyond. And that's why they were punished. Why didn't the Ravid say that? I'm sorry, why didn't the Rambam give that pshat? Why didn't the Rambam say? Because they tortured them. Says the Aderet, because the Rambam feels that is why they got out almost 200 years early. It was so bad, that's why it was almost halved. So that subjugation was really part of the Geula. That torture, the fact that it was so hard, made their years of subjugation 200 years, almost 190 years less. So for the Rambam, the Shibud is very intertwined with the Geula. And therefore it's okay to dip matzah in the charoses. But the Ravid, chas v'shalom, there's the Shibud and there's the Geula. And therefore the Ravid says Zehevel. Ones, they're opposite themes. You can't mix. Again, our minog is like the Ravid, but that's a possible lundus. Lishi Tasso, Rambam Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva, Rambam Ravid in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Fascinating. Okay, let's quickly try to get three more in 6 minutes. 2 minutes of thought. Says the Tzafun. Let's go to Tzafun. Says a story Reb Zilberstein tells over in the Chashukei Chemed. This story is just a bracha for everyone Seder. This is a bracha. He says, Yehudi Yakar, he says, a Jew came over to me, Rav Zilberstein said, after the Seder, and he was very moved, and he said, told me this story. He said, I have to tell you what happened at my Seder. He says, you know, we have a couple of kids, and some of them are more active in terms of usually taking the Afikomen and not taking the Afikomen. There's one child that's not usually the active one, but all of a sudden, towards the beginning of the Seder, he had a smirk on his face. Smirk on his face. And lo and behold, he was the one that somehow got the Afikomen and put it somewhere. And everybody was like very surprised. But then when it was time for Safun, you know, we asked him. So he says, but I get to ask for something. He says, okay. The father says, okay, you can ask for something. What do you ask for? Abba, eneni rotze matana. Ani rotze mimcha bracha shetvarechosi. Sha'atzliach b'limud Torah. V'uchal l'chabed otcha v'et ima kara'ui. I should be zochet to be a Talmud Chacham. I should be zochet to be mechabed you and ima. Im tavarech oti tachzir l'cha miyad et afikomen. then I'll give you back if you give me a bracha. And we're not talking about the child of the Gadol Hador, Rav Zilberstein said. We're talking about a child who knew priorities, who knew what a bracha from a father means. V'tzarach lizkar davar nosaf. We have to recognize that. This is the tefillah that we could daven for. Daven that our children could ask for brachas like this. That our children recognize that that's what a true bracha is all about. A bracha for ruchnius. And then we finish up the Seder and the highlight of the Seder, which often is after the Seder, is Shir HaShirim. Which is a challenging minhag. It's a minhag. But there is a thought that I mentioned in the middle of the, those who listen to the Navi Shir in the middle of Shir HaShirim. There's a thought of the Ramban from a Sefer Emunah and Bitachon that's expanded upon by the Kedushas Levi. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk says, "In Te'iru v'im Ta'oru as Ha'avah Shetechbatz." And the Ramban darshins on this pasuk, "Im Ta'iru v'im Ta'oru," when you have an awakening, when you have a moment of inspiration, that's a present from Hashem. Acha techpat. You know what techpat means? From the word chefsa, object. Take the moment of inspiration and concretize it. Put it into something. Don't let it be fleeting. Because when Hashem gives us those moments, He's giving us a present. And He wants us to take it. And He wants us to do something with it. Acha techpat, sheteitze min hakoach el hapoal. Don't let it fly by. At the end of the Seder, when hopefully we're on a certain high, we might be tired, but we have to try to think about those feelings and try to think about how I could put something into my life, how I could change something. It's the night of Mitzrayim. Remember what we said before. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem did it. So it happens every single year, the power of going out of our own borders. So at the end of the Seder, when we feel it, Acha Techbatz, we have to somehow think about a way to put it into our lives. To put, make a halashva in our life. Do some, maybe tell our spouse. So then we're stuck and have to do it. It's not just something in our we're thinking about. Because if we concretize it and we say something, it makes it more real. And it makes us do it. Es ha'ava acha techpatz. Let's make sure we get into a situation where we have to concretize it. And at the end of the Seder, right before Shir HaShirim, but I wanted to end with this, in Nirtza, we sing, Piduyim L'tzion Berina, L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. The pasuk in Yeshayo tells us, Lo b'chipazon teitzeu u'b'minusa lo seilechun. Explains the Dubna Magid. There are two reasons why a person might run somewhere. Either because he's running away from something, or he's running to something. Chipazon is running, or he starts off the other way. He says, "Acharav ki beisibos la'adam asher ratz u'mamayar l'makom l'makom." Oshu barech manas b'pei arotvim acharav l'pogo ra'a. Somebody's running after me. Minusa. Nas is running. Minusa. I am the one who is being victimized. I'm the minusa. Or I want to get to the place where I'm going. That's chipazon. We left b'chipazon because we wanted to go out to get to Har Sinai, to get to Eretz Yisrael. But when Mashiach comes, Yeshayahu tells us it's not going to be chipazon and it's not going to be menusa. Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeyu. U'b'menusa lo se'leichen. Why? Ki halach lefneichem Hashem u'ma'aschem elokei Yisrael. Hashem's just going to be there. You're not going to have to run anywhere. We're not going to have to run from or run to. Hashem's just going to be with us. So as we end the Seder, Piduyim Litzion Berina, we just want to be Padui, not Bechipazon, not Bemenusa, we just want to be in a state of Padui, and that's what we daven for, L'shana Haba, B'Yerushalayim. Bez Hashem, as we've said in the past, we hope that all the darkness that we've experienced over the past few year or so, we hope all the closure of the borders will lead to a tremendous light and a tremendous opening of the borders with Kibbutz Galias, and all Am Yisrael will be in Yerushalayim HaBenuya.